Yeah, last night, more of a bummer than a beamer. It's the Drive Guys here. And as you know, the Pelicans knocking the Kings out of the tournament, out of the in-season tournament, 127-117. And when we found out there was going to be an in-season tournament, I think you and I were kind of on the same page there, Kyle Draper, kind of like, okay, whatever. But last night, when the Kings were knocked out, it hurt. That was disappointing.
Yeah, it was because, you know, and we talked about it during the show yesterday. Like, anytime you could play for something for a young team, which I still consider the Sacramento Kings are in terms of experience and big game experience, it's a learning opportunity. And you would hope that they passed the test last night, and they clearly did. And so watching that game, I came away from thinking the Kings just aren't ready yet. Mm-hmm. They're just not there yet. Not saying that the Pelicans are. You know, I think it was a great matchup for them. But, you know, the Kings, every time we think, man, they got it figured out, you know, it's sort of we get knocked back down.
Corner turn.
Yeah, nope. Nope, not yet, not yet. Still working on some things, you know. And so that's my takeaway from last night. Like, we didn't quite turn the corner just yet.
Yeah, so where are you with this? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We're curious just to know, anyone else feeling that disappointment? Or is it, hey, they lost. Okay, you had some fun. It's a regular season loss. No big deal. Because I'm feeling a lot more disappointed about it than I thought I would. Because as I said earlier, I figured once you get through group play, I mean, that was the gauntlet.
Man, yeah, yeah.
You just got to win one game at home and you're on the way to Vegas. And, oh, yeah, well, the Pelicans beat them up a couple games down there. But this is a different Kings team. And wham! So that's unfortunate. Mike Brown last night talked about how he's disappointed that the Kings weren't getting out and running. Now, you and I yesterday said it's one of the ways the Kings could probably neutralize some of the Pelicans' physical advantages if the Kings get out and run. So why didn't the Kings run? Mike Brown, what he said last night was, a lot of guys want the ball to bring it up. We got two or three guys doing this when the rebound happens. Instead of sprinting down the corner or sprinting to the rim, then the second thing is our wings aren't putting their head down and sprinting to the corner. We've talked about it. In other words, this is something Mike Brown's not happy about. The Kings are not playing with a sense of we've got to push tempo.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm looking at the numbers right here, and when you look at fast break points, the Kings now are 26th in the NBA at just 11.4. Let me look at last year and see where they stood, because I thought that was a key part of, you know, their offense last season. They were 26th last season. Let me pull
it up. I know in terms of pace.
They were seventh.
Seventh, okay.
Yeah, but now, mind you, they're eighth in pace this year. Last year they were 12th.
Yes, I was going to say,
like,
yes.
So the half-court offense, they're moving it, you know, the pace. But in terms of full court, and I would also, you know, beg to say that, you know, when you look at their defense and their turnovers forced out there, you know, I don't think you're getting as many live ball turnovers, many opportunities to get out there and run as much if you're Sacramento this season. So I think that's part of it. You know, one of the knocks on Davion has been, you know, and why Mike Brown went with Keon Ellis is because Keon gets it and goes usually. Mm-hmm. But it's not just the Davion issue. It's turned into a whole team issue right now for the Kings.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Willie joins us on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Willie, you're on the Drive, guys. How are you today?
I'm cool. What's up, Jay?
Yo, what's up, man? What's going on?
You disappointed, Willie?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm disappointed, man. You can't lose that kind of game. That's the game. You have to leave it all on the floor, man. I mean, these guys beat you twice at home. They come to your house. You know you got to win this. I mean, here's my problem. Hey Drake, I feel you. I be seeing you be hurt, man. You be upset. Jay, you be upset, man. Look, hey, the high fly not in today. Fullerton Titan, he not there today?
No, he not here today. He's probably sick right now in bed, too, after watching last night, man. He's got to be upset.
Hey, you know what, man? Look, this is a problem I have. Okay, and listen, I'm not saying replace anybody or anything like that. But as the coach, you know, if HB don't have it going, if he don't have nothing going on, you got to try Sasha. I mean, look, the man scored 4 points last night. I mean, HB got to give us more than that. He got to give us 14, 15, and 8 or something. You know, he got to do more than that. It's like, Every time he got on Zion or Brandon, man, the first step, they were just gone. He was just out there, man, you know. And then again, Monk is a beast, man. Look, forget the rotation. Forget how many minutes you played. Man, Monk has to play. In a game like last night, you play him till he's running to the ground.
Now, hold up. Malik Monk last night played 33 minutes, 32 yeah. minutes and change. So he was out there. Come on now.
No, but my point is, listen, they turn the ball over too many times. You got to cherish that ball. It's like they're too lackadaisical sometimes. I was just hurt, man. I wasn't going to call you guys, but I'm saying to myself, look, Drake, you know Popovich, right?
Yeah.
Popovich. Even when he had Duncan in there and the Aber and all them guys, you let a team run off 8-10 points on you, I'm sitting half of y'all down. You know, look, but you got to play defense, man. I mean, my man let him run. All these games I see teams run off 10, 12 points and Brown don't even call a timeout.
That's not true. Come on, Willie. Willie, you killed me.
Appreciate your call.
Mike Brown's notorious for calling the quick timeouts, right? No.
Willie's frustrated.
No, he's frustrated. I'm frustrated. I'm still frustrated because when you look at it, to Willie's point, De'Aaron Fox, he's our all-star. He's a great player. 40 minutes last night. Domas, 36 minutes. Harrison Barnes, 34 minutes and only 3 shots. I mean, come on, man. You know, the bench, this is why you go out there and improve the bench. This is why you bring the EuroLeague MVP. This is why you re-sign a guy like Trey Lyles, you know? JaVale McGee, you sign. It's just, you know, and I'm looking at the bench. Maybe you don't go, obviously, Colby Jones, Jordan Ford, Davion Mitchell, Slauson. But maybe Kessler Edwards, especially when Brandon Ingram is cooking you out there.
Uh-huh.
Kessler Edwards, one of your best on-ball defenders. And so, you know, I just wish Mike would have, and he's done a great job this season, pressing the right buttons. I think last night he didn't press the buttons.
I do think it'd be nice if Harrison Barnes gave you more offense. But that said, I think to focus on him as the problem, it's a knee-jerk reaction to looking at the box score. Yeah. But I don't think that was really the problem last night.
No, Harrison Barnes wasn't the problem. The offense wasn't the problem. The problem was, inattention to detail. They lost focus several times. You could look at the turnovers early on.
Like Willie pointed out, early on.
Early on, the turnovers. You could look at the tip with 0.3 seconds. Like, those things matter. Those things, you know, that gave the Pelicans even more momentum and good feeling. And so you got to do a better job than that. And I know I'm not the only one frustrated. Kings fans, you should be frustrated. But I will say, and we talked about it yesterday, this is the roller coaster we're going to be on all season long.
Yeah, but as we've discussed, and you pointed out yourself, a loss like last night against a team that you didn't think was that good, then you realize, wow, as Mark Spears said, they could be really good. Then it causes you to question, well, how good are the Kings? And yeah, that's part of the roller coaster. But the Kings, we thought, were better than the team that we saw last night.
Let me ask you this,
though. We thought they were better than the team that folded up last night.
Because you ask, how good are the Kings?
Uh-huh.
Through the first 20 games, 19 games, they have a better record than what they had last year.
Yes.
So they're ahead of their pace last year.
Right.
But we had Jay Triano on last week, and he said, sure, the record may be better or the same, but they're not playing as well. Like, the feeling is so much different this year, but I think it's because the eye test. Like, you know, they're 11-8. They should be 14-7 right now, or 14-5 right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I think that's what's frustrating for Kings fans. It's like, you know, the team is good. Everything's okay, but they could be so much better.
Yeah. The other thing is this. Last year, after we got a sense of what they were, we knew that, wow, this is a great offensive team. That was their calling card. A lot of guys had career years. This year, they're trying to change their identity because Mike Brown feels like you can't really win that way. And they're struggling with that a little bit. So, yeah, there are a lot of positive signs, but we don't have that sense yet of, all right, they have embraced who they are and what they're about. They're still struggling with it, and that's a little – it's understandable.
Are they struggling with it?
Well, they say
no,
they
because
are.
They say it, and I'm not buying it. Were they struggling with it when they won 6 in a row? Don't use that as an excuse now that you lost the game. Oh, well, we're still trying to figure out both ends of the floor. Well, when y'all won 6 in a row, everything was good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, you know, and so I don't buy that excuse. And it'd be different, like I said, if they were a market improved defensive team. They're not. They're a little bit better, sure, but they're not top 10, not even top 15 right now.
Right.
And so that's what's concerning to me.
That's my point, is that that's the team that they're supposed to become, that Mike Brown is trying to get them to become, and they're not there.
Right.
They're that defensive-minded team yet. I mean, maybe defensive-minded, they're just not really defending very well.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a Mike Brown asking too much kind of thing. I guess that's what we're alluding to. You're asking so much from them defensively. But offense wasn't the problem last night.
Right.
We can't be talking offense when you score 117. Mike Brown said it after the game. The problem, once again, was the defense.
Yes.
It wasn't Harrison Barnes' 4 points. It wasn't only 14 of whatever it was from three-point range. The problem was you let the Pelicans shoot 54% from the field. You let the Pelicans shoot 45% from three. That was the issue last night.
Yes, yes, because they scored, to your point, 117, and they missed a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And they still put up 117. Yes. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mike joins us on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Mike, you're on the Drive, guys. What's up?
Drive, guys. How's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
Man, I'm just a little disappointed. I watched the most of last night's game, and I just felt Valanciunas was just bullying people all over the post, right? Nobody's doing anything but Trey Lyles, and I think we missed Lynn a little bit. I know he's injured, but Lyles can't be the only one sticking his nose in there to stand up to the bullies, whether it's Valanciunas. He's done this before to the Kings. That other big guy, I forget his name, some Russian guy. He does that to the Kings. We just need to stand up to him.
Nurkic. Like, you might be thinking of Nurkic. Yeah.
Nurkic.
Bosnia, but whatever.
Nurkic, every time, man, he would just go crazy in the post against the Kings. It's like, and then you live by the three, die by the three. Man, if it's not falling, go in there and, like, bully up. I just felt kind of pumped up that Lyles stuck his nose in there. But, like, you're not going to keep punking us in the post. I felt like, you know, maybe that's a learning experience for the Kings to stand up to these guys. What do you guys think?
Thank you, Mike.
Mike, appreciate the call. Yeah, no, you're right. You know, when you talk about Nurkic and Valanciunas, and, you know, as great as Sabonis was offensively, and he's competing hard, I mentioned it earlier. There were two plays, I think it was second quarter, where I feel like he's wrapped up with Valanciunas. He's looking at the ref, asking for a call of 3 seconds or something, and he sort of just gave up on the play, you know? And, you know, I thought Valanciunas, you know, owned him early on, and then Sabonis turned him on in the second half, obviously. But, man, that's a – Valanciunas is a physical player. He's a – it's not like he's some stiff. It's not like he's some bum.
Right.
He is a very good player. 18 and 11, that wasn't the game. The game was the Herb Joneses of the world. The game was the Trey Murphys of the world. You know, Alvarado coming up, and Mike Brown talked about him after the game. Alvarado having a huge bit. It was the others that really, I thought, gave the Kings problems last night.
Bad matchup for the Kings. Is that a legitimate excuse? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Right back with your calls. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.
I don't know. All right, let me say this.
How are you feeling,
Kyle?
No,
because Malik had 21. He had a good game. But, guys, we lost the game.
Yeah.
We lost the game. I want to talk about why we lost the game. This is an in-season tournament game. This is a chance to get to Vegas, a chance to win $500,000, a chance to win the NBA Cup. We did not get it done, Matt Barnes. And so, no offense, Malik Monk. No offense, De'Aaron. No offense, Domas. We did not get it done. I need to know why. If we're talking about championships, we got to be better.
That audio courtesy of NBC Sports California, Kyle Draper. Let's face it, Drapes had kind of a rough day yesterday. Had to wear a Brock Purdy jersey, and he had to watch the Kings get pushed around by the Pelicans.
It was my worst day in Sacramento by far since I've been here. I was miserable. I was miserable yesterday. It was a tough game to watch. It was a tough radio show to do.
Yeah.
I'm fired up now, man.
Uh-huh.
I got that Brock Purdy jersey. I wish it was 110 degrees out there so it could self-destruct, like disintegrate in the heat.
By the way, Debo says Brock Purdy is the MVP. We'll get to that at some point, too. Yeah. So I know you, Matt Barnes told you last night, hey, this is just a bad matchup for the Kings. Right now playing the Pelicans. We've seen it 3 games in a row. This is just a bad matchup. Is that a legitimate excuse for the Kings? What can we do? Bad matchup.
Yes and no. Yes, in the small, short term.
It's true.
It's
it is
true,
a bad matchup.
Yes. But if you're going to get to where you want to be, and
right.
We're talking about you're going to have to face these teams. The Pelicans aren't the only long, athletic, physical team. Maybe you see Houston. You know, they're a team like that. Denver has some players that can cause matchups with Gordon and KCP and some of those guys. And so, you know, it's an excuse. Yes, it's true. Yes, but so what? Fix it. You got to find a way to get over that, right? Mm-hmm. You can't use that as an excuse, because what if you do meet this up with this team in the first round of the playoffs? What if this is a 4-5 matchup or something like that, a 3-6 matchup? Are we going to say, oh, you know what? It's just a bad matchup. We're going to take this out. No, you got to figure out a way to play, you know, overcome that. And if you want to be a championship team, I never heard the Denver Nuggets say, ah, this is just a bad matchup. The Celtics, ah, it's just a bad matchup. The Milwaukee Bucks, not. No, if you want to be among the elite, you can't use that as an excuse.
You're right. Yeah, it's a bad matchup. We knew that going in. So the Kings had no answer for that, even though they've had two games now where they saw it firsthand. And yet last night, bad matchup. What are you going to do about it? Well, nothing. That's what was disappointing. And Alvarado sneaking in the backcourt, making a steal. If I know he can do it, if I've seen him do it, how can you not be aware when he's on the floor that that's a possibility?
And Mark Jones said it during the call last night on NBC Sports California. That's what Alvarado's known for.
That's what he does.
He's like, that's on the scouting report.
Yeah.
Look for Alvarado lurking in the backcourt. And, you know, we fell for the banana in the tailpipe again, and they got us. And that's what's so frustrating. And it's not like the first time we've seen this happen. Like, this is the third game.
Right.
And some of the same issues from game one, two, and now game three presented themselves.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It's one thing for the Kings here to be, hey, 11-8, and they've done some really nice things here. But we're talking about a team that has aspirations to get into the playoffs and get deep into the playoffs. And for that type of team, what we saw last night, you can't do that.
And this is so frustrating for me, Whitey, right now, because I'm listening to you. I'm looking at the YouTube chat. I'm hearing social media. I'm hearing it all. Kings fans were more upset last week after losing to the Clippers.
Come on.
Than they are right now.
Really?
Which is, yes, it's ridiculous. Like, last week was almost a schedule loss.
Uh-huh.
You're coming off the emotional win against the Warriors, and you got a Clippers team that's rested with four future Hall of Famers. Last night? You got to beat those guys,
you
man.
You were waiting for a team that was playing their third in four nights.
Exactly.
And they just brushed you out of the way.
And they did it while smiling, too.
Yep.
Herb Jones was out there laughing and smiling and giggling. Same thing with Alvarado. Like, if I'm a Kings fan, I'm upset today. I'm pissed off. I'm angry at the team because you had it. You started off great, and then you let go of the rope.
It's funny because I think it was Willie who called and said, hey, when you're the coach, you got to be like Popovich, and when you're unhappy with somebody, you got to sit them down. Well, actually, that's what Mike Brown did last night with a guy like JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee failed to box out with 1 point whatever seconds left at the end of the first quarter, and it led to directly to a two-point putback. And that was it. After that, it's like, well, he ain't playing. So he did that last night with some of his players. Sasha wasn't getting it done. He wasn't playing. But all it ended up doing was making the Kings look a little shorthanded and incomplete.
Yeah, and the issue I have with that, fortunately, Mike Brown has a great relationship with his players, and nothing usually carries on. But when you're a bench player and you make a mistake and get benched, and then you see the starters making the same kind of mistake,
mm-hmm.
and they're playing 35, 40 minutes, that does not send a good message. Fortunately, the bond, especially between McGee and Mike Brown, is stronger than that, and I don't think JaVale. But that could have been a situation where JaVale is like, I didn't lose this game. I wasn't even on the floor. It could have turned into something like that. I don't think it did, because JaVale's not that kind of guy. But, you know, for Mike Brown, like the way he played against Denver and then to really bury him last night, especially against a long physical team like the Pelicans, especially too, Whitey, when you think of how well he works with Malik Monk, who got 32 minutes, and it's just frustrating, man.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's talk to Mitch, see what Mitch has to say here on Sacktown Sports. Thanks for hanging, Mitch. What's up?
Yeah, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, good, man. What's up, Mitch?
Boy, the Pelicans got a big team. I just wish our team, our bigs, would play a little better. McGee, Harrison Barnes, I'm tired, trade-wise. I'm waiting and waiting for these guys to come through and play like a complete team. I think we'll improve as the season goes along, but and a little disappointed, but it was a good team that we lost to. It's just that we could get a winning streak going.
Gotcha, Mitch. Thanks.
At least Fox is a bonus. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Yeah, man. And again, another caller. I understand a lot of people feel that way. Harrison Barnes. There's just a frustration that when you need more from Harrison, it's not there. But that wasn't the problem last night.
That wasn't the problem. You know what was happening when we talk about Harrison Barnes? People are waking up looking at the box score, trying to figure out why we lost. Oh, it must be Harrison Barnes. If you watch that game, sure, you would like him to score more, no doubt about it. But he held Zion to 10 points. And I know he didn't do it by himself. He had some help, obviously. But there were other issues. Trey Murphy can't come off the bench and gash you like he did. Herb Jones, who plays the two spot, who's the two man on our team, Kevin Herter. Herb Jones can't outplay Kevin Herter offensively. Like, those are the things that can't happen if the Kings are going to win last night.
The Kings last night, in addition to being, facing a very difficult matchup, they were complicit in their own demise. They made too many mistakes, especially with the turnovers, and they took too many bad shots. And here's something that you probably don't want to hear and people don't want to hear, but I'm telling you, it's true. There are times, and last night was one of them, De'Aaron Fox takes too many shots. And I understand why he does, because I think he's stubborn and he says, we want to win, and I'm our best chance to win. Do you know that he leads the league in field goal attempts, De'Aaron Fox?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he should be taking a lot of shots. I know.
Shots per game.
Shots per game. He's number one in the NBA. Last night, he took more shots than anybody else on the floor. And there are times, I think, when he gets a little too stubborn when the shot's not falling, and he tries to shoot his way through that. And I'm not sure that it's the best course of action in a game like last night where the Pelicans had him figured out.
Yeah, I hear you, Whitey. I hear you. I don't know. I'm looking at the numbers also. 22.4 shots per game for De'Aaron Fox. But he's making them, 48%. My thing with De'Aaron Fox is the number of threes he's taken. Mm-hmm. You know, 8.2 threes, but he's only making 2.9, shooting 35.7.
And now, that's starting to come down.
It's coming down, right? Exactly. Yeah. If you're going to take 8-9 threes, I want you to be a 38, 39, 40% shooter. And so sometimes, and I'll have to look at his game log, I'll pull it up right here, especially against this Pelicans team, you know, the way he settles for the three.
I agree with you.
And he talked about it afterwards. He said, you know, he was asked about his three-point shooting, and, you know, he says if he's open, he's going to let it fly. But when you look at the matchup against the Pelicans, and I got the box score right here, 2 of 12 the first matchup from three, 2 of 7 the second matchup, 1 of 7 the third matchup. So let me do the math. 5 of 26 in three games against the Pelicans. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's not going to get it done. And especially against this team. I would argue the game plan against De'Aaron Fox is shoot the three ball. Mm-hmm. Make him a three-point shooter. And he's sort of falling right into their hands, playing right into their hands.
I agree. He's obviously the Kings' best player. He's a phenomenal player. But I think there are times when he has to trust his teammates more, and I agree with you. There are times when he relies too much on the three, especially when it's not falling. So,
yeah, anyway. What's interesting about this, and I'm looking at this box score right now. At Minnesota, and I know you were gone for this, 36 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds. He outdueled Anthony Edwards, but he took 32 shots in that game. And so we can't have it both ways. You know, look at the Denver game. Dished out 16 assists. You know, I would like to see his assist numbers come up. I would like to see him make his teammates better.
Yes.
You know, you look at Malik Monk when he's on the floor and running the point spot. How many dimes does he give to DeMontis Sabonis or McGee? I would like to see De'Aaron throw more lobs, more pocket passes, to your point. I don't have a problem with 25 shots last night, especially because he saw the way the game was going. But he could be a 28, 29-point-per-game scorer and an 8-assist guy easily.
It's nitpicking because he is their best player, but I think that's where he can even be better is if he can become more efficient with the three ball and become more multidimensional when the three-point shot is not falling.
Yeah. And Campio, I'm glad Whitey and Kyle don't coach the Kings. JaVale McGee would have got a lot more minutes last night if I coached the Kings. I'm just saying that. But no, to your point about De'Aaron, he's great. He's having a tremendous season.
Yes.
But I think the development in his game that this team needs is sensing, all right, I need to take over scoring, but also I need to be a better facilitator for other guys.
Get somebody else involved a little bit. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Yeah, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the Kings in-season tournament fun with our Sactown Sports Insider. Brendan Nunes is going to join us next year with the Drive Guys on Sactown. Kyle Draper and I getting a little emotional about that loss last night. So what we need is the voice of reason, and thank goodness we found one. Nice enough to join us, one of our outstanding Sactown Sports Insiders, Brendan Nunes. Brendan, thanks for joining us here. Had a bad matchup for the Kings last night. Is it as simple as that? Is that the whole story?
I don't think it's the whole story, but I do think it's part of it. Like, the Pelicans have a lot of length, which I think typically does pretty well against De'Aaron Fox, and obviously he just needs to be better, is part of this conversation. And there's a lot of, you know, self-inflicted things that I think the Kings did during that. The end of the first quarter, they were leading 427 mark 32-17, and then New Orleans goes on an 18-4 run, has a killer second quarter, and they never really look back. Like, the Kings start hot, they cool off, and they never reheat.
Brendan, when you look at what transpired last night, to your point, I think it was a 27-5 Pelicans run. But we had seen this script before with these guys. We know what Jose Alvarado can do. We know what Ingram can do. You know, Trey Murphy played last night. And so from a fan standpoint, I'm frustrated, A, that it was a big game, playing tournament or in-season tournament game, chance to move to Vegas. And B, these dudes had smacked you twice down there. How disconcerting is that, that, you know, you got your butts handed to you down there twice, and then you lose again here at home?
Yeah, losing the same team three times already, and what is it, I think we're through 19 games, is really tough, you know? Like, and I do think there's an aspect of New Orleans looked fairly different last night than the other games. Like, not to make excuses, but it did feel like they were playing a little bit differently with C.J. McCollum out there, Trey Murphy. They got more spacing around Zion, right? And while you limited Zion, you could tell every time that guy touched the ball, four Kings players come into the paint.
Yeah.
And then all these other shooters being available, I think, really did help New Orleans. But, you know, there was kind of a bully ball aspect there. Like I mentioned, they're big and physical, and the Kings are trying to do that. But that's not, I think, typically in a lot of their players' nature. And it definitely is concerning that you lose this. You know, Willie Green's talking about in postgame how every single game matters, and saying that they lost one game less than the team that went to the Western Conference Finals last year in the Lakers, you know. And this is supposed to be a crowded Western Conference. You lose that tiebreaker already at this point in the year.
Yep.
That's really tough.
Yeah. So to that point, we talked to Mark Spears earlier today. He said, wow, New Orleans maybe, in his mind, could be a team that could – get all the way to the conference finals. I mean, based on what we saw last night, is this a team that we really need to keep our eye on going forward in the West, the Pelicans?
I mean, they're good.
Yeah.
Like, remember the beginning of last year? They were flirting with the top of the standings then, too. So I think that they are a threat for sure. Obviously, Zion, you know, when you're getting talked about, is everybody knows what you're going to do, but nobody can stop it. That's elite stuff. Brandon Ingram is right there. I agreed with what Mark said earlier. He was phenomenal, by the way. I thought everything he said was totally on point. But they have all the
Even
tools.
When he called me Whitey, get out of the way.
Well, you know, I'm not going to comment on that part. I thought he was talking to me.
Just joking.
But no, they have all the connecting pieces. Like, Herb Jones had a great game, although the Kings should have done more to limit him. Obviously, you saw Alvarado. They have really nice pieces there. So, I mean, I do think they're a serious team. It's just about health.
Brendan Nunes joining us. Brendan, you know, piggybacking on Mark Spears, because a lot of people are coming at Harrison Barnes today.
Yeah,
is that an issue that Monty McNair needs to address, the HB issue?
I don't know that I'd call it an issue, but I do think that's like the clear point of upgrade. Mm. And I guess my confusion on where this conversation has like sparked so much, which, I mean, I do understand. Like, I think the big complaint is that you don't feel him out there too often. Like, there's moments that you do, and there's a lot of moments where you're like, I didn't even realize HB was really out there. My counter would be like, that's not always a bad thing. If you're noticing a guy, you notice when somebody does something good, but you also notice when somebody does something bad.
Right, right.
So I don't think there's that many, like, an overwhelming amount of mistakes that Harrison makes. I do think that defensively, obviously, there's been some step backs in the last couple years that's just going to come with time, like any player. But you know, Coach Brown saying postgame, guys got to understand that, like, he doesn't call any plays for HB. That's going to come with some inconsistency. And I think these other guys having good games, setting them up and just kind of doing everything within the flow of the offense and not getting plays called for you doesn't mean Kessler Edwards can do the same thing, because not getting a play call for you doesn't mean you're never touching the ball.
Yeah.
HB's still involved. But I do think we've known for a while, if you're making an upgrade to take this team to another tier, it's probably at Kevin or Harrison's position.
Mm-hmm. Not to put you on the spot, but you bring up an interesting point. Jerry Reynolds has been in when Kyle's been away, and Jerry thinks the world of Mike Brown and the job he's done. But Jerry has said if he were coaching the Kings, he probably would run some stuff for HB. What do you think of that notion?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that it will happen within the flow of it, right? Like, there are certain plays that he's going to call for some guys, but I don't even think that's happening all too often. You know, I think, well, I should say more often, they're just going to a free-flowing offense where HB can get his throughout the course of it. They're big on matchups this season. I thought there was a stretch where they were just going at CJ every single time. The issue is he's getting them back on the other end. So, you know, I think what HB has done is been fine, and I don't think that he's a guy. We're talking about a fourth, fifth starter.
Right.
Why? Like, what teams are typically calling plays for those guys, you know?
You know, one thing when I watched the Kings, and it was evident to me, if a guy gets beat, talking about Kings defensively, we don't have that back-level rim protection. Should JaVale have seen more minutes last night? Only three and change. Were you surprised that Mike didn't turn to his bench a little more last night?
Yeah, I think, right, JaVale played that first half, and then second half they went more small ball with Trey at the five. And I think that could be responding to New Orleans. I honestly don't remember which team did it first, but both teams started going small in that second half. You started seeing Zion at the five instead of Cody Zeller like we saw in the first half. So I think it was kind of matching that, and I think that Trey's physicality has been good. I'm a little torn on JaVale as a rim protector. Like, he obviously has his big moments of blocks, but I think there's also a lot of moments of guys coming towards him and his hands are just still kind of down and not necessarily utilizing all his length, or there's some fouls mixed in there. Not saying he can't do it, but I think it's a little bit of an up and down experience, and I really like the Trey at the five lineup personally.
I guess my pushback on that is, and I love Trey at the five, but Trey only played 16 minutes last night.
Yeah.
You know, you got Trey at 16 minutes. You got Sasha at, what, 6 minutes? You got JaVale at 3 minutes. Like, it was really just a five-man, six-man rotation last night. And you know as well as I do, Brendan, Mike Brown has a knack for pushing the right buttons at the right time with his bench guys.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to seen Kessler Edwards just a little bit, too. If Ingram's cooking, Edwards could come in and be a defensive presence. I just thought Mike didn't use his bench as well as he could last night.
Yeah, I definitely see your point there. And I think, honestly, like that, you know, final 4.5 minute mark, De'Aaron had 4 turnovers in just that stretch, and that's straight to 6 New Orleans points. Coming into that, he only had 4 turnovers in one game throughout the whole season. He'd been great about it, but, like, you know, you kind of have to roll with De'Aaron, right? Like, that's one of the guys that
that's
you're trusting
guy.
He's probably going to get it right at some point here.
Yeah.
Like, even going into the fourth quarter, I'm like, De'Aaron hasn't had a great game, but you know how this guy is. He could just totally take over in this quarter. You got to leave him out there. But I definitely see your point with Kessler and some of these other guys. Honestly, didn't even realize they ran the heck out of the starters.
Yeah, the starters played a lot,
Brendan, at some point we're going to hear some of Mike Brown's comments last night, but I was just wondering, what did you think, what was the tone of the post-game comments last night from coach and from the players after a disappointing loss?
Yeah, I mean, there definitely was disappointment. The guys wanted the opportunity to go to Vegas. I think there's an aspect of there will only ever be one first in-season tournament winner. You know, like, you can get a redemption next year, but you can never be the first one again. Domas has been clear that he's cared about this tournament from the start. Kevin expressed some disappointment. Kind of everybody did, really. So I think there's that tone, and then there's also just a disappointment, again, that you lost to this team for the third time already this season. And when it comes to strategy takeaways, like, there's an emphasis on their pace a little bit that you guys were touching on, and that's just in full court, as you guys were mentioning, just get straight to the corners. But Kevin said post-game, Kevin Herter, that, you know, maybe some of our defense and everything they're asking us to do there, rebounding, physicality, is just kind of not making us – we're thinking more about that end. Last year, we were just getting into shootouts.
And Davion said basically the same thing after one of the Houston losses.
That's right. Yeah. So there's definitely some small things that'll change, but there was a general frustration around being knocked out the tournament right. for sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's interesting about this season so far, Brendan, is that they have a better record right now than they had last year. Yeah. But yet the feeling is different. Why do you think that is, and is there any reason for concern that this team can't at least achieve what we saw last season?
I think there's higher expectations. Mm-hmm. Like coming into last year, I remember there being a point where I'm like, whoa, I think this team is good. And coming into this year, we already knew they were good. So it was about, can they take another step up from there? And I was coming into the year thinking this is probably going to be a team that has the same strengths and same weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And obviously there have been some adjustments, but like until you make another move, in my mind, that's the only way this team's getting to another tier. Maybe Keegan can take that jump, mm-hmm. that like to Mark's point, but I think that's going to take some time, as it reasonably would. But, you know, like I think we're right about where we're at last year, but it feels different because you've already seen it.
Right.
Were you as happy as I was last night to have found another member of the Yes, I Do Put Mayonnaise on My Hot Dog Club when Jay Ross raised his hand and said, yes, yes, I do that.
I don't know if I call it proud, to be honest, because I understand where the judgment
There's
comes
three of us
from.
Now.
I understand why
three in
I
the
get
world,
the judgment.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, it's tough. Honestly, yeah, I'm not putting it in my
How do you even learn to do
anything.
That? Like, in what scenario are you at home or hanging with
question.
Family? Like, why? How does that even?
I bought a hot dog once, a grilled hot dog at Bill's Burgers in Vallejo, and I'm eating. It's like, wow, this has mayo on it. It's pretty good.
Oh, so you didn't know at first. You didn't order it with mayo.
Right.
It just came and you were like, okay,
hey, that's
kind
of good. Yeah.
Never in a million years, my friend.
Ah,
that is, oh my God.
And they have a lot of it there, so clearly
they do.
It's not just for you that they have it out there,
right? Well, I was eating them plain. I'm not a ketchup or mustard guy is really what it comes down to. And I was eating it plain and getting way a bunch of crap for that. So I was like, I saw the mayo sitting there. I was like, I guess I'll put this on it. It got even worse.
Did you see what Antonio Daniels did with his?
I did
not. He's a great guy. He had just no bun, just a hot dog. And he chopped it up
into little, like a little kid, like a toddler. Oh my God, AD!
That's I put some sriracha on mine yesterday. Tried to mix it up a little bit.
There you go.
Another weird thing, I guess. You know.
Hey, by the way, when I was in Okinawa last week, they had a sriracha vending machine, which I've never seen.
Wow,
never saw one of those. Brendan Nunes for great Kings coverage. Check him out, SackdownSports.com. Thanks, Brendan. We appreciate it. We will talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, my man.
When we come right back, it looks like the Giants met with Ohtani last weekend. Why that could be a bad thing is next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Trying to find out where to catch your favorite team's games?
Are you a fan of the Kings, Niners, and the NFL?
Well, Sacktown Sports has you covered.
Touchdown! San Francisco!
It's all on his shoulders. Cox rocks. He fires for the win. He's got the triple.
Catch all your Kings, Niners, and NFL games all year long on Sacktown Sports and SacktownSports.com.
This holiday season, Good Guys Heating and Cooling is turning up the warmth and spreading joy with our Toys for Tune-Ups promotion. Schedule your tune-up or troubleshooting appointment, and with a donation of a new unwrapped toy at the time of your service, we'll waive the fee. It's our way of giving back and making a difference in the lives of local children who might not have the Christmas that every child deserves. All toys will benefit Children's Hope, a wonderful local foster charity right here in Sacramento. Call Good Guys Heating and Cooling at 530-GOOD-AIR to schedule your appointment, or book online at goodguysheatingcooling.com. Happy holidays from the Good Guys family. License number 1057618.
At Elk Grove Honda, our recipe for happy holidays is to think happy Honda days. Let's explain. Happy is a good thing. We all like happy. Honda stands for quality, reliability, comfort, design, peace of mind, value at resale, and a lot more feel-good words. Days is how long you have left to take advantage of Elk Grove Honda's year-end clearance underway right now. Elk Grove Honda is located in the Elk Grove Auto Mall, Highway 99 at Elk Grove Boulevard, or visit us at elkgrovehonda.com.
I gotta get an Elk Grove Honda.
Folsom Lake Ford has trucks. The F-150s are here. Explorers, Expeditions, and a huge selection of Broncos and Bronco Sports. They're in stock now at Folsom Lake Ford. Shop Folsom Lake Ford, your truck headquarters right here in Sacramento, for your favorite Ford models at good, fair prices. Short on cash? Buy any new Ford with zero down. Save big with low interest finance rates. Plus, Folsom Lake Ford is paying paying top dollar for all trades. We want your vehicle regardless of mileage or condition. This could be the best time to buy a new Ford. Check out the huge inventory online at FolsomLakeFord.com or stop by the dealership and see the most recent arrivals. Looking for something special? Give them a call and tell them Doug Christie sent you. Folsom Lake Ford in the Folsom Auto Mall, your trusted dealer, my trusted dealer for over 30 years. FolsomLakeFord.com.
Zero down with approved credit.
It's Credit Christmas at Prestigio Jewelers. Get the gifts you want this year. Prestigio guarantees your credit up to $10,000. It's easy. Have a valid ID, proof of income, and be 18 or older. Prestigio has competitive pricing on all jewelry, such as gold chains, wedding sets, diamond earrings, and designer brands like Cartier, Gucci, Bulova, and Citizen. Rebuild your credit, even with a repo or a bankruptcy, at Prestigio Jewelers. This Christmas, come for the credit and be amazed by the selection at Prestigio Jewelers. Online at PrestigioJewelers.com.
Did you know one of the worst things you can do is turn on your furnace after it's been sitting there all summer, gathering dust, without giving it a thorough tune-up first? Think about it. What if your car had been sitting in the garage for 6 months without ever running? Any piece of machinery that's been sitting needs to be tuned up. So call Bell Brothers. We'll tune up your furnace for just $87 and guarantee the results. We guarantee that your tuned-up furnace will save you $87 on your energy bills. And we guarantee that your tuned-up furnace won't break down during the season, or we'll immediately refund your money. No questions asked. Don't delay. Small problems that are easy and inexpensive to fix can quickly turn into big, expensive problems. Call Bell Brothers right now to schedule your furnace tune-up at 916-444-1234 or find us online at thenosurpriseguys.com. That's 916-444-1234 or online at thenosurpriseguys.com.
The No Surprise Guys, Bell Brothers.
Amazon will be delivering packages to your house. Let Amazon deliver customers to your business. If that sounds good and you want more in 2024, simply text digital to 916-766-5105.
Flagship station for the Beam Team, Sacktown Sports.
Top of the hour, going to get back to the Harrison Barnes conversation, situation. Kings fell last night, of course, to the Pelicans. And Harrison Barnes didn't do much one way or the other. And so anytime the Kings lose, a lot of Kings fans are, it's Harrison Barnes!
Right. He's the whipping boy.
Get rid of him!
Everybody wants to come at my guy, HB. Come on, man.
Well, it, some of it's understanding, though, because you expect a little bit of what he used to bring you. Like, you know, at least last year, what did he average, 15 a game? Last year, his numbers actually were really solid.
Yeah.
But this year, there have been too many games like last night where, you know, as you say, offense wasn't the issue, but he's 1-for-3. He really didn't do much in, you know, 34 minutes. And so that's why fans get upset. It's like, well, surely somebody can do more than what he did last night.
Can I be Charles Barkley for a second? Yeah. Fans are dumb. Fans don't know what fans wake up and look at the box score and say, oh, that's the reason why we lost. Now, if this team struggled to score last night, if they only had 98 points, something like that. But to Mike Brown's point, and he said this after the game, you score 117, you should be able to win an NBA game, especially a game of this magnitude. This was not a Harrison Barnes issue. This was a defensive issue. This was a, oh my God, Brandon Ingram. Think about this. Zion Williamson, who we could argue is their second option, had 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason he had 10. Harrison did a great job and some help as well. But here's the thing. When you look at the Kings, Harrison Barnes, if we're being 100% honest, is the sixth option offensively on this team. Like, Malik Monk is ahead of him in terms of offensive options. Malik Monk is going to take more shots. Keegan, Domas, Kevin Herter, De'Aaron. Why are we on Harrison Barnes when Keegan Murray, and I know he's dealing with the back injury, only had 14 last night.
Because.
And 5 personal fouls.
The answer to that is because Harrison Barnes is a proven NBA starter. and he had 4 points last night. So that's why people look at that and go, wait, I mean, this isn't a rookie. This is a guy that you re-signed, paid a significant amount of money for, and not as much as you had paid for him. But there are a lot of games like last night where he really didn't give you much. So, yeah, it's true. Last night, defense wasn't the issue. But I'm just saying that's why fans feel that way so often. But we'll get back to that conversation. Where are the Kings with Harrison Barnes? How much of a problem is he?
Yeah.
So we'll get to that in just a second. I wanted to touch real quickly on what's going on with the Giants and Shohei Ohtani.
Because I know
we're talking about the 49ers and the Kings right now, but can you imagine how huge that would be if Shohei Ohtani were to come to the Giants? It looks like the Giants met with him last weekend. Susan Slusser reported it, and I believe there's been confirmation. There was, Buster and Farhan were seen like going to the ballpark. So it looks like they met with him last weekend, which could actually be a bad thing if they met with him and it's gotten out, because Shohei's agent is private in nature and demands the same from organizations who are interested in his client. So there's an article that says that Nez Balelo, who is Shohei's agent, has let teams know, if we meet with you and it's leaked, you will be punished for it. So if they don't want Shohei and his representatives, they want to meet with teams, they don't want anybody to know. If the Giants met with him and it somehow got out, and if they have reason to believe the Giants leaked that, it could actually, there could be a backlash. It could harm their chances of signing Shohei.
You know, it's, and that would just be the most Giants thing ever, right? You know, it's like, we got to keep this quiet and somehow it leaks out. But, you know, as a Giants fan, I would say, oh, it's great, you know. But I wouldn't get my hopes up high.
Yeah.
We've been down this road with so many big-name free agents in the last 5 years with this team. I wonder what the odds are. I haven't looked up the odds. Which team? Is it Dodgers, I think?
The Dodgers. The Blue Jays. Blue Jays, for some reason, seem to think the Blue Jays have a shot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I honestly think Shohei stays on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it makes sense. But he's the kind of guy, the kind of free agent the Giants need, that gives you an identity, gives you some star power, gives you some box office draw. Because right now, you know, outside of Logan Webb, they don't have much.
Right. He has a dog. He won some award last week or something. Was when he won the MVP award.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a dog with him when he was accepting the award. A little cute little puppy. And no one knows what the name of the dog is. And people are thinking he has named his dog after the team that he's going to, and no one knows what it is yet. I mean, it's weird. There's weird stuff going on, but I saw a description of Shohei as being maybe the most talented baseball player of all time, which is like, whoa.
Wow.
I don't know if he is or not, but maybe he is. Are there any other guys in any other sport currently about whom you could say that man or woman, they may be the most talented, they may be the best that we've ever seen in that sport? I mean, LeBron could probably.
Are we saying Mahomes at the QB position?
You could make that case.
You could make the case, but, you know, he still has to do some more. But the thing about Shohei is his career has been relatively short here in Major League Baseball, and we're already anointing him that guy. You know, who else at that age and that years of service have we, you know, it'd be like saying, you know, who's a Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? Somebody like, oh my, that's the guy, you know.
Right.
Maybe Luka, but that's sort of fallen off a little bit from when he first came in the league.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be really interesting to see where Shohei ends up, if it's the Giants that just transforms their whole outlook.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I don't think it's going to happen.
You know what? You got to swing for it. You know, you got to get up to the plate and make your pitch and everything. But at some point, they got to get somebody, right? They got to land one of these big names.
Right.
You know, San Francisco's too great of a market, too big of a market not to attract big-name free agents.
Bryce Harper, they didn't get him. Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge.
You know
what's interesting about the Bay Area? The Bay Area, I've probably spent more time there than you have. I'm from Vallejo. Mm-hmm. Bay Area's beautiful, but let's face it, as far as like free agent destination in pro sports, it's really not.
It's not. Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
The taxes.
The price of everything, all that, you know.
And the weather. I mean, if you'd rather probably go to Southern California for weather than Northern California.
But the fan bases are tremendous, though. The support and the love you get in that city. And so No, you're right about that. Man.
When we come back, why does everybody want to blame every Kings loss on Harrison Barnes? Looks like Jay has put together a little Harrison Barnes exercise we're going to get to as well, comparing him to some other players who make about the same amount of money as Harrison Barnes. So that and more when we come back here to Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.